Good afternoon, everybody. Shmuel Plotzker coming at you live from my house. Welcome to Golf Manor Synagogue's weekly book club class. We're currently studying The Majesty of Rosh Hashanah, Understanding Malchios, Zechronos, and Shokros. We're continuing our study from way back, Menemta Smith, as we say in Yiddish, you take it with you. We started this book in preparation of Rosh Hashanah. It's taking us a little bit of time. Rosh Hashanah feels like forever ago, but hey, you take the holiday with you. Otherwise, you get nothing throughout the whole year. So remember way back to Rosh Hashanah, how beautiful it was, how uplifting it was, but we're trying to take that spirit with us throughout the year. We're on page 237. So please join me, page 237. We're on the third. This is actually the third and final part of the book. We're really very much near the completion of the book. On page 237, the book ends in about 100 pages. So at the rate we're going, we'll be there very soon. And that's going to be very nice to kind of do a scene on this book, to join the scene that we did this morning on Chagigah. So again, mazel tov to everybody who completed that. Let's try to complete the Sefer. Page 237, the third verse of Shofros. This is the third verse that the rabbis put into the prayer in Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. It is a verse in Exodus chapter 20, verse 15. V'chol ha'am ro'em et ha'kolos, the entire people, the entire nation, saw the thunder. That's halapidim and the flames. That's kol ha'shofar. And they also saw the sound of the shofar. That's har ha'shein. And they saw the smoking mountain. V'yaham, the people saw. V'yanu'u, they trembled. V'yamdu mirachok, they stood from afar. Let me read the whole thing in English. The entire people saw the thunder and the flames, the sound of the shofar and the smoking mountain. The people saw and trembled and stood from afar. Exodus chapter 20, verse 15. Writes Rabbi Cohen, Rabbi Shimon Mordechai Cohen, out of England. In the Torah, this verse follows immediately after the Ten Commandments. In it, we learn of the intense spirituality of the actual transmission of the Torah and the immediate aftermath. We also come across an apparent paradox from which we will gain insight into the essence of a true Torah life. The entire people saw the thunder and the flames. Top page 238. They saw Hashem's words. According to Rashi, based on the Mechilta, Israel actually saw the words spoken by God in the Ten Commandments. Some commentaries, like the Kli Yakar and the Hamei Dover, they explain that this means that Israel saw the words written in front of them in letters of fire. According to this understanding, the flames that the people saw were those that emanated from the fiery letters. The blind could see, the injured were healed. Rashi tells us here that the words, the entire people saw, well, those words teach us that those who had been blind regained their sight, and they were able to see the wondrous sights that the rest of Israel saw. After all, it says, the whole nation saw. So even those who may have been blind were able to see as well.
When Mashiach comes, it said that everyone will be healed.
Right.
So doesn't that mean we'll get another Torah?
My son asked a good question. Armam asks, are we going to get a new Torah if we're going to have a complete healing of the nation? And we had to have the Torah come first, and that's what triggered the healing. So when the healing happens again, will we get a new Torah? The answer is we're going to get a new spirit. Same Torah, but a new spirit is supposed to be coming into Klal Yisrael, say the prophets. We're going to have a new Ruach, whatever that may mean. And hopefully that's going to be, that new spirit will, revive all of us and enlighten all of us. And hopefully that'll be good and they'll be able to give us the healing that we look forward to. Hope that's something of an answer. Yeah, I think he's going to address some of that in the book over here. So again, the entire people saw, which means everybody, sick and well alike, were able to see these words. They regained their sight. Those who are blind were able to regain their sight. And they're able to see the wondrous sights that the rest of Israel saw. Additionally, all those who had sustained other injuries while performing slave labor in Egypt, well, they were healed. God desired that all of Israel would be physically whole to receive the Torah. This teaches us that Torah itself heals and completes us. See the Midrash Tanchuma, Parshas Yisro. Hashem addressed each person at his level. The Mechilta tells us of another miracle. Each person was able to hear at the giving of the Torah according to his strength, meaning his ability to bear the experience. No one saw or heard on a level at which they would have been truly overpowered. And yet all of Israel heard Hashem speak to them and saw the great revelation. Of course, that begs the question that I'm going to ask. Well, isn't it true that the entire nation was indeed overpowered at those two first commandments? And that's the reason why their souls left them. And then they approached Moshe and said, cannot really take more of this. Could you be our shliach? Could you be the intermediary between God and us? Because our souls have already left us. You know, here comes God's words, number one commandment. And then the Neshamas flew out of their bodies. God said, go back into the bodies. I don't want to talk to dead people. Back in they went. Then came God, commandment number two. Out go the Neshamas because they can't bear the tremendous, the experience of it all. God speaking to the body, people being overwhelmed, out went the spirits, dead, down go the bodies in death. God says, wake up, go back into the bodies. They went back in. At that point, the people said, we're getting kind of tired of dying and reviving, dying and reviving. Could you please be the one to speak? You receive the Torah, and then we'll hear it from you. And that's how it happens. So I'm not sure what he means over here when he quotes down the Mechilta that says they heard things on their level and that no one saw or heard on a level at which they would have been truly overpowered. That seems to go against another Midrashic source, which I just gave you, that they indeed were overpowered so much that they died. I'm going to have to write that down. Yet another Midrash says that they died. They were overpowered. Not sure I understand that. Let's continue. And the sound of the shofar in the smoking mountain, the Bible says, that's called a shofar, that's ha'ar ashen. And the sound of the shofar and the smoking mountain. Top page 239. The people all saw the sound of the shofar. They saw, if you can understand this, the people all saw the sound of the shofar. How do you see a sound of a shofar, which was heard together with the words of Hashem? The Netziv points out that the thunder and the lightning are not mentioned here. He explains that the words that Hashem spoke now were to become part of the written Torah. Israel was shown these words in letters of fire. The visible shofar sound, which accompanied God's words, represented the oral Torah. This vision indelibly impressed upon Israel that together with the written words of the Torah, the Almighty was teaching Moshe numerous oral laws and explanations. Thus, the experience of receiving the Torah at Sinai included the written and oral Torah and demonstrated that these two parts of the Torah are inseparable. Okay? They saw a visible shofar sound, which represented the oral Torah. The Netziv writes that it is for this reason that in the bracha of shofars, we make mention of the kol shofar more than the other aspects of the revelation at Sinai, because the sound of the shofar represents God's direct communication of the Torah to Israel. Vayaham vayanu'u vayamdu mirachok. The people saw and trembled, and they stood from afar. Between each commandment that they heard from God, Israel, trembling, backed away as far as the other end of their encampment. We're told they backed away at a distance of 12 mil. A mil, we're told, is 2,000 cubits. Those closest to the mountain backed away a distance of 12 mil, which is over 7 miles. How about that? They backed up 7 miles away from the mountain. Amazing.
Really far?
Yeah. That was very far.
How long did that take?
I don't know. 7 miles. Amazing. The people are revived. Talmud and Shabbos 88b, quoting Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, tells us of three different things that happen upon each commandment being uttered by Hashem. Top 240. Number one, the world was filled with fragrance. Number two, exactly as I said earlier, the souls of Israel left their bodies, upon which Hashem brought them back to life, using the dew, the tal, which is reserved for the revival of the dead. And three, Israel, afraid, backed away 12 mil. When this happened, Hashem sent angels to gently bring them back to their places.
Didn't Hashem use the key of reviving the dead?
Mm-hmm. Could be. Yeah. He used the key of reviving the dead. Therefore, at that point, he had all three keys. Right?
So,
kept all three keys for himself.
So then, how did someone get the other
key? Well, Elijah was able to get a key in order to revive a dead child. The key of reviving,
how did he get
Hashem
it?
Gave it to him as a gift in order to be able to revive the kid. I think so. Then Elijah wanted another key. Give me the key for rain. God says, let me see if I understand this. I'm God, and you're a human being. There are only three keys. Childbirth, rain, reviving the dead. You're going to have two, and I'm going to have only one? Is that how you think this world works? Give one back. I got to have at least two. You take one. Elijah said, okay. So he handed back one and got the other. Elijah had one, and God kept two. It's only right.
Didn't Eliyahu give back the other one?
Yeah, he wound up giving back one in order to take another one.
No. And then what happened to the key of rain?
Ultimately, he was able to hold on to the key of rain for a little bit. He gave back the key of reviving the dead. Or the opposite, whatever it was. Because he wound up reviving a dead person and maintaining control of the rain. He gave back, God worked it out with him. He said, you can't keep two, I gotta have two. So Elijah handed back.
When did
Eliyahu
have zero? After that?
Oh.
After
some time. Well, he had zero, when he was on his way out of the world. He probably returned everything to God. Gave back the key of rain because there's no need for him to have anything. He's going to be up in heaven. He doesn't have to have anything. He's not going to be on earth anymore. Make sense? He makes appearances down here. I've seen him many times. Gesture. Middle of page 240. So at least you see over here that the souls of Israel left their bodies, because the reason is that they were overwhelmed. That's why they left their bodies.
Why not?
They left their bodies because they weren't able to tolerate that. The Maharsha says three groups. Maharsha, three groups. The Maharsha asks, if all of Israel indeed died, then they could not have been moving. How are they moving back 12 mil if they're busy dropping dead? Or if they already died, how are they still moving? He answers that the people standing at Sinai reacted in three different ways to hearing the voice of Hashem. There were some who had the fortitude to remain in their places. For these people, the fragrance that filled the world enabled them to recover from the great awe that they felt. Others backed away in fright, but they remained conscious, aware. It was these people who returned with the help of the angels. Those least able to withstand the awesome experience actually passed away and were then revived by God. It is a footnote. It is clear from the Maharsha that people reacted in these different ways due to their differing physical abilities to withstand the awesome experience they were going through, not their spiritual level. It came out down to came out to their physical ability to handle it, not their spiritual ability. How about that? So I thought that it was all about spirit, not necessarily. So I'm going to make a little note about that. I'm getting schooled. Okay. The Malbim, their souls saw and heard. You may eat at the table. Best place to eat. Tablecloth and chair. The Malbim has a different approach. The beginning of the Pasuk, where the people were all seeing the sound of the words of Hashem took place immediately upon the utterance of each commandment. Again, going to Malbim, the beginning of the Pasuk, where the people were all seeing the sounds of the words of God, well, that seeing took place immediately upon the utterance of each commandment. The souls of all Israel departed their bodies, not out of shock at hearing God, but because their souls needed to be completely free of the barrier of their physical selves in order to be able to attain the highest level of prophecy.
Oh, Sukkot stayed awake and not done anything.
Who could have stayed awake and not have just done anything? Says ask Amram.
Not have had to smell.
Yeah. Again, this is the Malbim. The Malbim's not following the Maharshal.
Who could have done that?
Let's see what he says. Let's see if he fleshes it out. The souls of all Israel departed their bodies, not out of shock at hearing God, but because their souls needed to be completely free of the barrier of their physical bodies in order to be able to attain the highest level of prophecy. It was at this level, with the souls of Israel soaring heavenward, that their neshamas both saw and heard. Ma'amat HaSinai, the standing at Sinai, in its entirety. For the soul can both see and hear the spoken word. The neshama can see and hear the spoken words. Amazing. Top 241. When, at the conclusion of each dibur, at the conclusion of each statement by God, their souls were restored to their bodies, Israel once again perceived the awesome scene with their physical senses. At this stage, they felt afraid, as the latter part of the verse describes. It was then that they retreated to the other end of the encampment and were gently held back by the angels. Paul hard to understand exactly how it went down. We just did the best we can here. The Torah, life in this world and the next. According to Malbim's explanation, we can better understand the Mechilta quoted above, which says that each person heard only according to his own ability to bear the experience. Hearing the word of Hashem, though tremendously awesome, did not harm or overpower Israel. Their neshamas departed their bodies in order to receive the prophecy, but their bodies remained whole and healed, awaiting the return of their neshamas. Wow. So, one second. I'm just pointing out things to myself. Okay, Butsy 240, Butsy 241. Okay. The Torah, represented by the sound of the shofar, enables us to live joyous, fulfilling lives in this world and enables our neshamas to gain eternal life in the world to come. Just as the revelation at Sinai, far from harming Israel, actually healed them, so too, fulfillment of Torah and mitzvahs is healing, not harmful. The shofar's call awakens us to the greatness we're capable of, the spirituality we gained at Sinai. Let's not make the mistake of thinking that this entails sacrificing our enjoyment of life. Only the Torah provides true and lasting Simchas HaChaim. See the Shari Kedusha. Chelek Aleph. In summary, on page 242. Summary. Third verse from the Torah. The entire people saw the thunder and the flames, the sound of the shofar and the smoking mountain. The people saw and trembled and stood from afar. Miraculously, all were able to see. And all were able to understand on their own level. Their souls left their bodies in order to see and hear God's voice. Upon revival, they backed away in fear. The angels then brought them back. The voice of the shofar represents the spoken words of the Torah, that is to say, the oral law, which is the real repository of Jewish tradition. The Torah, represented by the shofar, does not harm. Rather, it heals and awakens us to fulfill our spiritual potential. Page 243. Now we're going to get three verses from the Ksuvim, from the sacred writings. Let's start with one from Psalms. Psalm 47, verse 6. Allah Elohim Betrua. God has ascended with the blast. Hashem Bekol Shofar. Hashem with the sound of the shofar. Meaning Hashem has ascended. There's that biblical parallelism. Allah Elohim Betrua. God has gone up with the Trua. Hashem, God has gone up the Kol Shofar, with the voice of the shofar. But the verb is missing. The verb Allah applies to both parts of that verse. Allah Elohim Betrua. Allah Hashem Bekol Shofar. It's just that it's missing on the second half of the pasuk. Gotta get put it in. He doesn't put it in. I think you have to put it in. Hashem ascends with the blast. And now a different name of God. Elohim is the midah of judgment. Hashem, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, is the midah of Rachamim. So the Almighty who sits on the throne of judgment ascends with the blast. God, with the name of mercy, ascends with the sound of the shofar. That is Tehillim 47, Psalm 47, verse 6. This verse from Psalm 47 is part of a mizmar, a song, which describes how all the peoples of the world will praise God when they witness the coming of Mashiach and the revelation of God's kingdom. According to the commentaries, our verse refers to that future time when Klal Yisrael will praise Hashem with the sounding of the shofar when bringing Karbanos in the third base of the Mikdash. Top page 244. This explanation, albeit the plain meaning of the words, would seem to be at odds with the comments of our sages on our verse, who interpret it as referring to the shofar blown every year on Rosh Hashanah. Which is it? Is it going to be the special shofar that's going to be blown when Mashiach comes, heralding Mashiach, and it's going to be accompanying the praise of the Almighty that Israel's going to give, the sounding of the shofar when they bring Kabbanis in the third base of the Mikdash? Or is it going to mean, does it mean the shofar that's blown every single year in shuls, all over the world? Which one is it? Which shofar are we talking about? The shofar of the future or the shofar of every year on Rosh Hashanah? As we will discover, the two ways of interpreting our verse are really one and the same. We'll first bring the meaning of our verse as explained by the commentaries in its context in Psalm 47. Allah Elohim Betrua, God has ascended with the blast. Hashem with the sound of the shofar. Hashem Bekol Shofar. God has ascended with the sound of the shofar. After the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash and Israel's return to Israel, God will be elevated, meaning he'll be highly praised through the Trua, which we will sound before God in the song over the Karbanos. Okay? Now, Malbim says, mankind's recognition of Hashem will be elevated. The Malbim writes that the two halves of our verse refer to two different levels of recognition of God, corresponding to the name Elohim, mentioned at the beginning of the pasuk, and the name Hashem at its end. Let's start with the beginning of the pasuk. All Elohim Betrua. The Almighty ascends with the Trua. And he's going to translate that meaning, the recognition of God through nature will become elevated due to the shofar blast. The name Elohim, writes the Malbim, refers to Hashem acting in the way we call nature. Anyone at any time can recognize God through his endless and amazing miracles, without which nothing could exist. At present, Hashem's miracles are only recognized to a limited extent. However, upon the coming of Mashiach, all peoples of the world will join together in an awesome coronation of God. Top page 245. This will be accompanied by a tremendous teruah sound, as described at the beginning of this chapter of Psalms. Allah Elohim Betrua. God is going to be recognized through the shofar blast, the teruah blast. At that point, the laws of nature will be transformed. And an even more miraculous hanhaga, meaning behavior or paradigm or way of going through nature, way of life on the part of Hashem who become the norm. Hanhaga means a way of acting, a way of doing, and refers to whether Hashem performs miracles or shows mercy. It can be a whole new Hanhaga, a way of acting on the part of God. Okay? At that point, the laws of nature will be transformed, and an even more miraculous way of acting on the part of God will become the norm. This change will come as a result of the universal acceptance of God as king, upon which God will openly reveal his malchus, his kingship to the world. Therefore, the words, quote, Allah lakim betrua, God ascends with the truer sound, with the shofar blast, Psalm 47, verse 6, means that the hanhaga, that the way of acting, represented by the name Elohim, by the name of the Almighty, which I always interpret as the midah of din, judgment, strict judgment, gracious bara Elohim, in the beginning, the Almighty, on the throne of strict judgment, created the world. And then he softened it up. He saw, he knew obviously, but in our understanding, God saw that to live in a world, to be a judge of a world with just merely strict justice, not going to be a pleasant world. Creating human beings who are very fallible, they're prone to mistakes and other stupid things that we do on a normal, regular basis, and he's going to be strictly judging us every single second, and we're going to get zapped by lightning every time we do something dumb, won't be a good world. Be a world of three people, and then zero. Because that's just how it is. Nobody's perfect. Eventually, there's going to be nobody around. And God said, I can't have a world like that. That's crazy. So he sat on his throne of mercy. But over here, the word is Elohim, undeniably. For the Malvim, the word Elohim is going to mean God as he works through nature. Okay. Therefore, all Elohim betrua, says the Malvim, God goes up in the terua sound, Elohim, this name of God that is associated with judgment, is also associated with nature. Thus, all Elohim betrua, the Hanhaga, the way of acting represented by the name Elohim, the recognition of God which we can attain through nature, it's the Malvim's understanding, will become elevated, become Allah. That's what it means. It doesn't mean that Hashem is going to be ascending. It means our understanding of God will ascend. Allah, Elohim, Betrua. We're going to have an ascendance of knowledge. Thanks to God working through nature, it's going to be a whole new way of working through nature. It's going to be even clearer. Our understanding is going to become elevated. Allah is going to become clearer and more obvious. How? As a result of the trua, of the shofar blast, of acceptance of Malchus Shemayim, of the kingdom of heaven. We're going to become elevated, and our understanding is going to get clearer and more obvious as a result of the acceptance of the kingdom of heaven. Hashem b'kol shofar. Continuing, the recognition of God's miracles will become elevated following the sounding of the great shofar. The four-letter name of Hashem, writes the Malbim, means that he is above the natural order. It represents his ability to perform miracles, overriding the laws of nature. During periods of exile, Hashem generally can be perceived only through the natural order that he created. Still, writes the Malbim, God regularly shows us glimpses of his divine providence to show that his special bond with Israel is still in existence and that God is capable of overriding the laws of nature. When God fulfills his promises to the nation of Israel in miraculous ways, he, God, is acting with the hanhaga, with the way of acting of the four-letter name of Hashem, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, the name that I associate with mercy. Okay? This hanhaga, this way of acting of God, will become immeasurably elevated. It'll be Allah. It'll go up. That is, it may be made greater and more obvious with that clear and unmistakable shofar sound, which will signal to us and the world that the darkness of Gullus has vanished forever. Okay. The sounding of the shofar gadol, the great shofar, will herald the ingathering of all the exiles of Israel, following which the miraculous hanhaga, the miraculous way of acting of the name of Hashem will be far greater and more obvious. Top page 246. The Midrashim on our verse, the shofar of Rosh Hashanah. Allah lakim mitshua, Hashem has ascended with the Tshua, meaning Hashem acting with the attribute of justice, because that's the name of the Lakim, has ascended the throne of judgment with the Tshua sound of the shofar. Hashem acting with the attribute of mercy, the kol shofar, has ascended the throne of mercy with the tekiah sound of the shofar. As mentioned above, although almost all the commentaries understand that our verse refers to the time of the future redemption, as will be indicated by its context in chapter 47 of Psalms, our rabbis interpret Psalm 47 as referring to the effect that our shofar of Rosh Hashanah has in heaven at the time of the judgment of Rosh Hashanah. And the rabbis explain as follows. Quote, at the time that God ascends the throne of judgment on Rosh Hashanah, God ascends with the attribute of justice, as is written, Allah Elokim Etzura, God, representing the attribute of justice, has ascended the throne of judgment with the Tshua sound, which symbolizes this attribute. When Israel takes the shofar and sounds the tekiah before God, the Almighty stands up from the throne of judgment and sits upon the throne of mercy, because the tekiah symbolizes mercy. As it is written, Hashem, Yud-Tei-Vav-Tei, the four-letter name of God representing mercy, the kol shofar, with the sound of the shofar. He fills himself with mercy for them and acts mercifully towards them. Top page 247. Of course, our rabbis speak in terms which enable us to conceptualize what is happening within our human frame of reference. Hashem has no physical form and is not restricted by moods or emotions. He exercises different traits and ways of judging depending on our spiritual needs. Middle 247. Questions on Chazal's interpretation. A number of points need to be clarified, and the meaning of the words of Chazal needs to be understood. The meaning of these words, that needs to be understood. Number one, what is it about the teruah that symbolizes justice, and how is that changed by the tekiah? Number two, how does our sounding notes on the shofar affect the way the world is judged? Number three, our rabbis were, of course, well aware that our verse comes in the middle of a chapter of Tehillim, which refers to the future redemption, which almost all commentaries agree is the plain meaning of the pasuk. So how is it then that they seemingly ignore the context and interpret our pasuk as referring to Rosh Hashanah? It's talking about the end of days. What's Rosh Hashanah got to do with it? The Al-Sheikh's approach, bottom 247. The Al-Sheikh shows that Chazal, our rabbis, were not departing from the plain meaning of our verse. He writes that in this chapter of Tehillim, the Gentile nations are being addressed, telling them of the wonderful benefit that they too will have from the future redemption of Israel and the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. Their acceptance of God as king and their recognition of Israel as his chosen nation will bring them true fulfillment and endless joy. Top 248. The entire world will be blessed with peace and abundance due to Israel's devotion to Hashem. In our verse, writes the Al-Sheikh, a potential concern of the Gentile nations is addressed. Maybe you, the Gentiles, will say, no, perhaps Israel will sin against Hashem, and the anger of Hashem and Israel will affect us too. How can we be assured that only good will befall us as a result of our future attachment to Israel? To that, Israel replies, our pasuk. See a little bit of water here. Don't go away. That's good. Good question. To that, Israel replies, our pasuk. Quote, the way of God is that when the attribute of justice is invoked due to our sins, it is withdrawn through the truer, which inspires us to repent and return to God. Allah lakim b'truah. Our understanding is elevated. Allah, our understanding is elevated of God, the truer, with this shofar sound. The attribute of justice, the midas hadin, is transformed from Elohim to Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, to the four letters, name of God. The attribute of justice is transformed to the attribute of mercy through the sound of the tekiah, which hints to God's merciful attributes. Hashem, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, the merciful name of God, is that merciful name of God, the kol shofar, the voice of the shofar. You Gentile nations should therefore know that through Israel, you too will enjoy complete goodness. So it is fitting that you join together in praising God for bringing the redemption of Israel. The Alshach with this explanation shows how the understanding of our rabbis in our pasuk, that the true and the kol shofar are those of Rosh Hashanah, is actually an integral part of the message of the whole mizmor, the whole psalm. All mankind will have cause to rejoice in the kingship of God following the coming of Mashiach. Our ability to internalize the message of the shofar, both its alarming which awakens us to cast aside evil, and it's also hearkening to Kia, which awakens us, which inspires us to build upon the good within us. So that ability to internalize the message of the shofar enables us to assure the nations that their best interests will be served by accepting the kingdom of God. Top page 249, Teruah and Tekiah, their message to us. We've learned a number of interpretations of this verse. Together, they form an overall picture. Our verse teaches us the shofar's message, expressed by the teruah and the tekiah. Teruah, the teruah, calls us to recognize God's knowledge of our deeds and his presence in our world. When we come to this recognition, God will reveal his presence more openly. When we increase our awareness of God, we will not need the attribute of justice to awaken us. This is why this, upon the sounding of the teruah, God shows mercy. This theme runs through the various explanations of the words Allah lakim b'truah. God has ascended with the teruah, the shofar of Rosh Hashanah, the teruah over the korbanos, the praise of God after the redemption. These are all parts of one process, the revelation of God's presence in our world. Our avoda, our worship, is to initiate this process when we listen to the teruah of Rosh Hashanah to bring awareness of God into our lives. The tekiah, similarly, Hashem bekol shofar. Hashem, of course, it should say, ascends, goes up, with the sound of the shofar. That refers to Hashem's miraculous hanhaga, his way of acting above the laws of nature. When God overrides the attribute of justice, exercising the attribute of mercy, it's also miraculous. Again, we initiate this hanhaga, this way of God's acting, by internalizing the tekiah's message. The tekiah calls us to build on our potential, to strengthen ourselves against the negativity of the Yetzer Hara. When we hearken well to the shofar's call and raise ourselves above the Yetzer Hara's negative voice, God will correspondingly elevate his hanhaga, his way of acting, towards us and the entire world. And so in summary, top page 250, the first verse from Ksuvim, from the sacred writings, is from Psalm 47. God has ascended with the blast. God has ascended with the sound of the shofar. Upon the sounding of the great shofar of redemption, God's power through nature and as the guide of history will be clearer to us all. The tekiah, the long straight sound, inspires us to follow God's ways. The teruah, the broken sound, encourages us to break our negative character traits. And finally, by taking to heart these messages of the shofar, the Jewish nation fulfills the will of God. And God reciprocates by guiding the world with compassion. That'll be all for today. I've got a bunch of things to do. I know I'm truncating it a little bit, but listen, we did two little sub-chapters. And God willing, next week, we'll see the fifth verse of Shofar. God willing, we're going to pick it back up on page 251. So I want to thank everybody for calling in. A big shkach and a big thank you. Shkach to you for calling in. Shmuel Plotzker signing off now. Got to leave something for next week. Can't do all 70 pages in one day. So, Zayt Gesund, wishing everybody a great rest of the day. Hatzlach and Brach and the best of health. Please join us tomorrow night as we continue Tanakh Tuesday and our chapter 14. Take care and be well, everybody. Have a good one as you slowly but surely finish the majesty of Rosh Hashanah. Have a great day. See you tomorrow night, 7:30. Take care and be well. Bye-bye now.